We have been talking for quite some time now over what we believe, kind of the basis of our beliefs as a follower of Jesus Christ. And those things that we believe individually are manifested in what we believe corporately. And it's important to, you've heard me say this before, it's not only important to know what you believe, but you need to know why you believe what you believe, okay? If you just go through life saying, oh, yes, I believe this, and somebody says, why? And your best answer is, because my mama said so. According to mama, that's pretty good. But you need to have something more substantial to base that claim upon. There is nothing more rock solid to base your beliefs on than the Word of God itself. The Word is the truth. In every sense. Today is the final installment of that series, What We Believe. Today we're going to talk about the belief in a bodily resurrection and life eternal. And in 1 Thessalonians, I have a few passages of Scripture for you this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18 says this, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's Word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself..." I just love this picture. I love this picture. "The Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel." You know who the archangel is, don't you? Michael. Just saying. I don't know if it's coincidence or whatever, but "with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." These words are meant as an encouragement to us that the end is not the end. There is more. And it's better. Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Christ's resurrection? You know, we talked about that way back at the beginning of this series. Romans 8, verse 11 says this, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." If Christ was raised from the dead, then so will we also be raised. I get asked a lot of questions about the end of life and what happens next. I get asked a lot of questions about the body. I get asked a lot of questions about cremation and such. Whether or not someone should invest in that little casket upgrade, you know, that has the little rubber silicone gasket that goes around to kind of seal in and make a better seal on the gasket. Listen, I have a belief on that. I believe that if God created man out of dust, He is powerful enough to recreate me out of dust or ash or whatever else I may be at that time. When I think about Paul, Peter, James, John, the disciples, do you think they'll be raised in a bodily resurrection upon the coming of the Lord? Do you think their bodies are in real good shape right now? I don't either. And my other question is, do you really want the same body you have right now? I want one that's free of pain and the frailties that we fight, because we all fight frailties in this body we have. And guess what? I'm going to get it in the final resurrection. I don't really think I'm going to spend eternity as a chubby Cupid with wings sitting on a cloud, eating cotton candy or whatever they do, carrying around a little bow and arrow. I don't know. I just don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe that is because Scripture does not teach that. Amen. We cannot base our beliefs on what we see on TV, on what we hear on the radio, what we read in books, or even from other people's opinions. And listen carefully. Even from a pulpit. Even from a quote-unquote man of God. If it's an opinion, you need to find where it's based, where it's found, what it's based upon, and you need to go to the Word of God. We can only base our beliefs on what is truth and what has stood the test of time. Do you have any idea how many people have tried to shoot this book down over the thousands of years? It always comes under fire, and guess what? It has always withstood the test. It has always withstood the fire. It has always been a firm and strong foundation. And guess what? It always will be. The Scripture says that the Word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. The pages on this book may get worn out. I've worn out several. It may get marked up, and that's good. Because I'm not sure what you believe about if it's wrong to mark in your Bible or not. I mark in mine because it's a tool I use. I go to it, and if I wear it out, I go get another one. It's still the same. It's just as good, and I use this thing. I pray that you would use it also. Our beliefs must be based on Scripture. I want to recap kind of where we've been in this journey. The statement called the Apostles' Creed is what we've kind of been working through, and it is not, you won't find this creed in Scripture, but it is certainly based on Scripture. It's kind of like a summary statement of our beliefs found in Scripture. And it simply says this: I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. That was week one. I believe in God Almighty, who created everything that we see and everything we don't see. The next week we talked about, I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son and that He is Lord of all? That He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary? Is it important that we believe in the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior? Absolutely. Absolutely. That He suffered under Pontius Pilate. That He was crucified. That He died. And He was buried. Then we had this controversial statement that the Apostles' Creed has that says that He descended into hell. And we talked about how that really is basically a... What is hell? Hell is separation from God. Okay? And when God turned His back on Christ on the cross. Why? Because Christ had your sin and my sin placed upon His shoulders. That sin was a separation from God the Father. The only time there has ever been a separation in the Trinity was on the cross. And that was hell, that separation. On the third day, He rose again. I love this. We had Easter back in June or whenever that was, July. We had Easter all over again, talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, His resurrection. He rose again. And then He ascended into heaven, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father. We talked about He's coming back. And He's coming back to judge the living and the dead. Then we moved on to the third person of the Trinity. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of God Himself. We talked about that how God is, the Holy Spirit is not some third-rate part of deity. It is the Spirit of the living God Himself. And as believers in Christ, when we put our faith and our trust in Him, that Holy Spirit comes to reside and dwell within us. But it doesn't come just to take up space, just to fill space. It comes to empower us, to enable us, to encourage us, yes, to comfort us, but there's so much more. It also comes to convict us and to lead us in a right relationship with the Father. This next statement was another one that kind of caused some people to take a short breath. Also, it says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church and the communion of saints. And we talked about the original meaning of Catholic was not a denomination. Catholic literally means universal. Basically, what this statement is saying is, I believe in one church, one body of Christ, that Dolan Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, First Baptist Houston, Second Baptist Houston, Third Baptist Wakachula, if they're Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and preaching churches, then we're the same body. We are the church. There is one church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, who He's coming back for. That's you and that's me. That's people who are meeting in places like this all around this world. Some are meeting in huts and jungles. Some are meeting under the termite mound, the shade of a termite mound in the desert. Some of them are meeting in caves. Some of them are meeting where it's illegal to do so. We are the church, all of us. The communion of saints. We talked about how it's important for us to commune with one another. Commune means to gather together and to share with one another, to have conversation, to visit, to support, to encourage. And the Bible calls us saints. And we talked about how, you know, some people don't feel very saintly. And I get that, because sometimes I don't either. But the truth is, you got to see yourself how God sees you. God doesn't look at me and say, well, there's a bald-headed preacher down there who messes up more than he does right. He looks down there and says, that's my man who's covered with the blood of Jesus, who makes him righteous. I'm not righteous in my own. I'm far from it, my friends. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. But he was also considered a saint. Not because of him, but because of the Holy Spirit residing within him and the title and the position given by God when we trust Him as our Savior. Jonathan preached on the forgiveness of sins, that there is only forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and through the blood that He shed for you and for me. And it doesn't say, I believe in the forgiveness of my little sins. It doesn't identify which sins can be forgiven and which cannot. It says, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, period. The truth is, that's an all-inclusive statement. Is the blood of Christ powerful enough to forgive you for that lie you told? But is it not powerful enough to forgive you for whatever else? Oh, my friends, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to cover every, any, and all sin in our lives. But it doesn't just happen. We have to bring that to Him and say, here they are. I lay them before you. I confess. I agree with you that this is wrong. I agree with you that these are sins. And I lay them before your feet. And I beg you. I repent. I turn from that. I leave that there, never to return to it again. See, that's what repentance is. And it's only through that repentance act on our part that the blood of Jesus is applied to our sins. And then today, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And then the statement closes with this word, Amen. Amen. It's a statement of agreeing. It says, basically, literally translated, Amen means, so be it. Make it so. I agree. Now here's the kicker. All that I just read through there with you, all that I just spoke of, do you believe that? Do you? What I mean is, do you really believe it? See, you can say anything. But if you really believe this, then it will change everything about you. It'll change everything about what you do and how you go about doing it. I'll be honest with you, if you're not being changed, it's probably because you don't believe. Remember, you don't believe what you say you believe. You only believe on that which you're willing to act upon. If it's not affecting how you live, then it's not a belief. It's just an idea. It's a good idea. But if it doesn't affect how you live, that's all it is. It's just an idea. A belief is something that's inside of us that we've nailed down and we're unwilling to compromise on. It's called conviction. You've heard that term used in as far as the conviction of sin. A conviction also means something that I have, that it's part of me. I have a belief so strong that I am unwavering in that. It's a conviction that I have. Is your belief in God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, in all that the Word of God says about the God of all creation, the Godhead, the Trinity, is it so much a part of you that it affects everything you do? That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Right here and right now. A true Christian is not someone who's a club member by name but never shows up and participates. I carry some cards in my wallet, I think, of probably some clubs or something that I'm a member of. And I can be called a member of such association or whatever. But I can tell you, that's only in name because I don't go, I don't participate. Christianity, this Christ-following relationship that I'm talking about, there's no card that classifies you as the member. It's our actions. It's our how we live our life that qualifies us or that identifies us as a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, if I just carry the card around, am I really a member? If I'm a member of the ABC Club of Cleveland, and they meet and do whatever things, and I went and I paid my dues, and I carry the card around in my pocket, but I never go back, or I never participate in the things that they do, or whatever, am I really a member? If I call myself a Christian, but I never really honor the Lord with my life, if my speech is not affected by that relationship, if my actions are not affected by that relationship, am I really a follower of Christ? It's not just a label. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a title. It's the way we live our lives. What do you believe? And are you willing to act upon those beliefs? Maybe you've never thought much about it. I can tell you it's time to think about it. Maybe you've never acted on the first step and professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Today's your day. Jesus isn't asking for what you can give, do, or be. We don't find in Scripture where Jesus asks us to give, to do, to be, to do anything like that. What we do find is that He demands everything. And that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is to submit yourself to the demands of our Lord. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus puts it plain and simple. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. You see, this whole thing about what we believe is bigger than just saying we believe in it. This whole thing about what we believe is bigger than that. It's got to be at the very core of our being. It's got to be in the makeup of our DNA. The Scripture says that we will be made into a new creature, right? We'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That there's got to be some change. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a newness and a freshness because of Jesus Christ. And we can read and study about all that has been done for us. And when you do that, you've got to come to the question, what do I do with all of that? What do I do with all of those things that I've just read about? What do I do with all those things that I say I believe in? Do I really believe it if I don't let it affect me? Do I really believe it if it doesn't drive and direct every aspect of my being, everything that I do? Do I really believe it? I have a hard time believing someone is got a conviction and they really believe what they say when I see two different things. When they say, I believe I can walk on water, and then I see them swimming in the lake, I'm thinking, I don't believe that person really believes they can walk on water. When I see somebody saying, I believe that I've given my life to Jesus Christ and He's now my boss, He's my rescuer. But then I see that person making decisions on their own that are contrary to the will of the Father. I have to ask myself, I wonder if that person really believes that, or are they just saying that? And folks, I think it's high time that we get past all of the performances. I think it's high time we get past all of the fronts that we put up, the illusions that we put out for people to see, the things that our reputation goes before us. You heard that somebody says, my reputation precedes me. Yeah. Sometimes that reputation is not an accurate representation of who we are. I think it's high time we get real and get genuine. That is what the Lord demands. That's what the Lord demands of us. He wants us to be who He created us to be and nothing else. And I'm going to tell you something. Who He created us to be, there's nothing better than to be exactly what God wants you to be. Amen. And what He created me to be is different than what He created you to be. And what He created you to be is different than anybody else in the room. Are you willing to submit yourself because you believe so firmly in what we've been talking about over the last several months? That because of those things I say I believe in, I'm going to put those into action. I'm going to believe with all of my being in God the Father, in God the Son, in God the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to follow that. I'm going to let those path, the beliefs that I get from Scripture direct my path, and that only. I'm not going to put my faith and my trust in the TV preacher. I'm not going to put my faith and my trust in Brother Mike. I'm not going to put my faith and my trust in my Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to put my faith and my trust in my spouse, my children, my grandchildren, my grandparents, my 401k, my savings account, my business. I'm going to put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, because what He offers is the only thing that lasts for all of eternity. I believe in the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in a bodily resurrection, that one day, if I should die before the Lord comes again, when that happens, my spirit will be reunited with a remade body. And that's how I'm going to spend the rest of my eternity. And guess what? That's a really, really long time. Do you believe those things? If so, I hear what you're saying. Are they really directing you? What I'm getting at this morning as we wrap this whole series up is, are you genuine? Are you genuine? Are you real? Has the Word of God become so much a part of you that you it has become a conviction within you that you will follow what Scripture says and look at nothing else in how to live your life? If you're here today, and well, obviously you're here today, but if today you are here and you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, really and genuinely and honestly, maybe you said some words and you said, I believe, but it didn't change anything, didn't affect anything. So now you're going, did I really believe what I believe now? And is there something you need to act upon now to firm up that belief? Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you have done that, but it was not a real thing to you. There's never been a life change. There's never been a new direction, a new center for everything that is your life. today's your opportunity. Each and every Sunday, we close with this time we call the invitation time or the response time. And basically, here's the deal. The question is asked, here's what Scripture teaches. What are you going to do with it? And sometimes we need to respond to that. Sometimes we need to come to the altar. Sometimes we need to come and I'd be glad to pray with you this morning. Sometimes we need to come and just get on our face and say, I've not been real with you, Lord. What I say I believe, what I say I want to be, what I say I do is different than how I really am. And I want to bring who I really am in line with what your Scripture teaches. You know what that's called? It's called lots of things. Back in the old days, they called it getting right with Jesus. Guess what? It's still getting right with Jesus. Amen. Jesus does not change to get with you. Jesus does not change to verify or to ordain your lifestyle. He says, no, I am the standard. And here I am. I want you to line up with me. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to surrender yourself? The Scripture says to deny ourselves. What does that mean? That means to put my wishes, my wants, my desires to the side and follow God's wishes, God's desires. Folks, this world has got a lot of FaceTime Christians. Those who claim to be Christians. And you know, I've started using a new term called a follower of Christ, a Christ follower. Because in my mind today, there needs to be a redefinition of what that means. The world, it's become so polluted and convoluted that Christian carries such a connotation. Well, you're a Christian if you're in America because you have In God We Trust on our money. So there. Well, folks, some people believe that that's what makes them a Christian. What makes you a Christian, what makes you a Christ follower is when you submit yourself to Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Are you currently doing that? And if not, what are you going to do about it? Father in heaven, we come to you now. We're about to have this time of response time. Father, it's an invitation. It's not my invitation. It's not the invitation of this church. Father, this is your invitation to each and every one of us to respond to what you've laid on our hearts. Father, I pray that I've been faithful to convey the message as you've given it to me. I pray, Father, that I've been faithful to convey what Scripture says about these things. And Father, that's my responsibility to do that. The rest of it is your responsibility. Father, you speak to the heart. You speak to each and every one of us. You convict us. You convince us. You draw us. But then I also believe, Father, that we, each and every one of us, has a responsibility to respond to that call in our life. Father, may we be faithful. You have always, always, always been faithful to us. May you find us faithful back to you. With everything that we say we believe in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?